Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the place where sanity and truth prevail, the Newsbusters podcast. June is Gay Pride Month, so sanity and truth will take a back seat to celebrating what they call diversity and inclusion, kindness and compassion. But disagree with them, and you get none of that. There is no diversity of opinions. There is one way, or you're on the bigot highway. There is no inclusion of dissent. They say Pride Month is about visibility, but there shall be no visibility for the resistance. There is no kindness for the unkind. There is no tolerance for the intolerant. And there's no compassion for people who expected their sons to remain sons and their daughters to remain daughters. Their mentality is agree or vanish. Agree or be censored and punished. So take this. NBC News has this Pride Month headline. LGBTQ advocates criticize Elon Musk after the Twitter owner said he would allow users to freely misgender people on the social media site. Yes, according to NBC reporters, misgendering is hate speech. Telling the truth is hate. Facts are hate. Science is hate. David Ingram, like a good NBC News drone, reports, quote, in culture war battles online and off, using pronouns other than what someone prefers is a common way to bully trans people. Bullying. To call people what they are. They're confused about what they are. Now, I can see someone not wanting to misgender you to your face because, you know, like you're trolling, but they're on the side of accuracy. But the trans police underline, as they always do, that somehow those people who speak the truth are dangerous. They go to polls showing for gender-confused people when all or most people in their lives respect their pronouns. They attempted suicide at half the rate of those who did not have their pronouns respected. Can you see them underlining the threat? Respect my pronoun authority or you want me dead. There aren't two points of view on this. There is only you need to submit to orthodoxy. USA Today celebrated Pride Month on the front page on June 1. Headline, these transgender teens thrive at a difficult time and show their identity defines any one label. And then the big headline underneath a picture of three transgender teens, quote, but most of all, I'm human, unquote. You're supposed to understand they're human. Did anybody say they weren't human? This is what they do, is they set up these straw men and knock them over. The author is breaking news editor Susan Miller, who just a while ago had done a piece celebrating that 19.7% of Generation Z identify as LGBT or Q. Celebrated it. Susan Miller, very happy when she wins awards from the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. This was a puff piece. This was a press release. It started with, Chazzy is a sunny 17-year-old who greets each morning with an affirmation and a session on a yoga mat. She has a zeal for volunteering. Painting brings joy. This in 2023 is what they call news reporting. I just hear Stuart Smalley. And people like me. So they run through these three teenagers who are the stars of the story. And then Miller continues, the three are embracing passions and mapping futures, dash, dash. Accomplished teens who just happen to be transgender. Their identity, quote, is really the least interesting thing about us, unquote, Chazzy says. Oh, sure. That's why they're spread all across the top of the front page of a national newspaper. Transgender is the least interesting thing about us. Never believe them when they say that. It's what makes them special. It's what makes them newsworthy. They're not normal kids. They're somehow better than normal kids. Yes, Miller's press release is for something called the Gender Cool Project, which is a left-wing advocacy group. The words left-wing or leftist are just not used because the reporter agrees with them 100%. Miller explained the group this way. It, quote, works to replace misinformed opinions with real experiences of young people who are transgender and non-binary. So there's real experiences, that's the left, versus misinformed opinions, that's the right. Now, does every conservative have a misinformed opinion? And which misinformation is that? That these people are not the gender they're trying to present as? Tim, you don't understand. They're lived experiences. Well, but this, stop. This is where you go back to trying to imagine what parents go through when their children decide they're a gender that they weren't born with, that they were assigned at birth by a cruel and inhuman God. All right, so it continues. A long list of things, of all the things these wonderful people are, that there's going to be an ABC news program celebrating six of these teenage ambassadors for the Gender Cool Project. But here's the really underlining point. Front page of USA Today goes inside the newspaper. Nowhere in this story is there one hint of conservative opinion. I guess because we're all misinformed. There is no rebuttal. There is no dissent. Nobody is allowed to speak. And that is the secret of Pride Month journalism. That's why I called it Prideaganda. Because it's all celebration. There's not really much journalism there. It's a press release for a group. These are the people, again, that will lecture us about democracy. But there's no democracy when it comes to Pride Month. There was more smearing the conservatives to happen. On June 1, Nick Fondacaro watched The View, so you don't have to. Joy Behar implied American conservatives would support executing the homosexuals. Joy, quote, in Russia, you're imprisoned if you're gay. In Uganda, they just imposed a stringent law, life imprisonment or execution if you're considered to be homosexual. 64 countries, half of them in Africa, criminalize homosexuality. The other half are all over the place. I mean, is this what we want our country to be like Uganda? I mean, come on, or Russia? I don't think so. And they're, you know, they compare this to DeSantis in Florida. They never want to understand the idea that there's a difference between putting somebody in jail for sodomy and the idea that you should make sure you give second grade kids pornographic sex education in schools, because when you're 7 or 8, you really need to know what a condom is. I mean, they don't fight fair, these people. They don't look at what actually the controversy is about. They'll just try to use these vague things. It's a hostile environment out there with anti-trans bills. There's hundreds of anti-trans bills, and we'll describe none of them. Because they just want to make it sound scary. Conservatives started a culture war. No. The left wing started a transgender education project, and when parents object, suddenly it's a culture war because somebody fought back. Somebody wanted to have a debate. Somebody wanted to put on Twitter, did you see the books they're handing out to the children or the books that are available at the library? This would be considered democracy. It's advocacy. And when it wins in red states, somehow it's tyranny. That's the way the media reports on these things. Alex Christie reported on Morning Joe, they had on Sarah Kate Ellis. She is the head of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Debate and Democracy. Or defamation, I guess, is what it's supposed to be. Same thing. Willie Geist, you know, was there for all the softballs. He asked about the decision by Target to sort of cave a little bit and remove some of that pride merchandise. Yes, the tuck-friendly swimming suits. So Sarah Kate Ellis, first words out of her mouth. I think what's really important is to add the word extremist to all of this. We're always extremists. She can be for the sex books for your second grader. She's not the extremist. I mean, this is the game that's played. And the news media obviously allow it. They give people like Sarah Kate Ellis a platform. She claims this is a minority voice that has a loud megaphone right now. If it's a minority voice, why then are there 700 anti-trans bills and they're passing in red states? It's not a minority. This is the problem, is that they're just unhappy that somewhere, sometime, they're going to lose. The minority voice has a loud megaphone right now. Yes, that's Sarah Kate Ellis objecting to Fox News and the libs of TikTok and Twitter and any place people are allowed to speak out against what GLAAD and their allies are up to. She said, they've laid out their playbook. They want to make pride toxic, which is supposed to be a celebration of our community and a lifting up of our community. Well, we understand your playbook. It's an authoritarian playbook. You notice they always say people like DeSantis has an authoritarian playbook. GLAAD and the gay people, the advocates, the human rights campaign, they have an authoritarian playbook. They go to corporations and say, knuckle under or else. We have a corporate pride index and you better match it. Woke is mandatory. You know, God forbid your Hobby Lobby. You know, that is somehow, that's a corporation that should not be tolerated. Target, however, was trying to do the right thing. Target caved to the right wingers. Oh, and then Sarah Kate Ellis reaches for this one. This is not let's boycott. Here's a sign-on letter. Yeah, no, that's what it was. She said, this is AK-15s. This is we're coming to destroy the store. This is bomb threats. Now, which Target was destroyed? I bet Sarah Kate Ellis didn't say a darn thing when the Targets were looted for St. George Floyd. Let's get our reparations at Target. There was a threat of violence there. Don't try to stop the looters. You might get fired for trying to stop the looters. I mean, for them to try to suggest there were bomb threats. It turned out the bomb threats that people talked about, they decided were not credible. And they were allegedly coming from people angry at Target for caving into the right-wingers. They love talking about threats of violence from the right. Death threats. This is a little hard to refute because you don't want to say, I think those death threats are phony. But this is the problem. This is the way you smear the conservatives. They're all tyrants. And they're violent. Then Morning Joe co-host and political writer Jonathan Lemire circled back to that violence. The threat of violence you mentioned The anti-trans rhetoric, in some cases legislation, we're all sort of seeing at once. I was speaking to a couple members of the LGBTQ community in the last couple of days who say they entered this Pride Month with a sense of real fear. See, that is called a softball. That's Jonathan Lemire being a tool, a stooge, when you're trying to compare the threat of violence with anti-trans rhetoric, the threat of violence with anti-trans legislation. Smear it all together and paint the conservatives with it. Yes, the conservatives are ruining Pride Month. On CNN, Alex Christie reported at the end of a Thursday night segment, Victor Blackwell comes on and says at the start of a month that's in part a celebration of visibility, some feel the Sunshine State is shoving them back into darkness. It's this terrible idea that someone actually disagrees with them. How dare you? Yeah, put on your Greta Thunberg face. How dare you disagree? Well, it wasn't all tremendously one-sided. Curtis Houck reported on CBS Mornings. Co-host Tony DeCoppel did a report on the woke corporations, but we were a little surprised. There were actually two sides in this story. They were at least mentioned. DeCoppel talked about the razors and the chocolate bars from the Daily Wire folks. We like both. They brought their razors to our gala. Kevin Tober recently got a box of their chocolate bars. Good stuff. DeCoppel also included Will Hild from the group Consumers Research, who's also on the right. So, hey, how about that? A story with left and right in it. Was that so hard? But Curtis was mostly noticing what happened when the story was over. They go back to the studio. And here comes co-host, an Obama donor, an Obama hanger-oner, Oprah pal, Gayle King. She insisted, I don't want to give money to people or companies that I don't think are trying to do good, be good, and make the world a better place. What does that mean? They don't support my values. Yes, those values are liberal values. And that's fair in America if you don't want to give your money to companies that you don't think share your liberal values. That's fine. Then co-host and former NFL wide receiver Nate Burleson agreed, calling this woke marketing thought-provoking. It creates a conversation, which is what we should be having, regardless of what side of the spectrum you sit on. But as Curtis noted, they don't want a conversation. They don't want a spectrum. They want you to agree. They want you to submit. They want you to accept. To use the term that GLAAD uses, they want journalism that accelerates acceptance. This is all contrary to religious people who read the Bible and believe the Bible is the Word of God. They are the ones that are going to be left out, or the ones that are they're going to say, please vanish. Now, on NBC Nightly News, Stephanie Gosk did a story. Tom Yamas sitting in for Lester Holt began, Pride Month starts today, a celebration of the LGBTQ community that this year is the center of a culture clash that's giving some companies second thoughts about supporting the cause. Gosk went on to say Target moved its Pride Month merchandise, including a transgender-friendly bathing suit, to the back of some of its stores after customer backlash. Yes, you ever notice that conservative rebuttals or resistance, it's a backlash? Liberals never cause a backlash. My boy Ben, I'm sure, is thinking of Van Jones saying that Trump getting elected was a white lash. We're always the lashers. We had this incident yesterday where the AP reporters in Ron DeSantis' face saying, why aren't you talking to voters, while he's talking to voters? And he says, are you blind? And NBC reported this as DeSantis lashes out at reporters. See, this is the way they use the words against us. So Stephanie Gosk in her story then turned to George Chauncey, a Columbia University professor who loves social justice. She wanted to worry that 20 states have passed bans on transgender medical treatment for minors. Okay, see, so the conservatives are for backlash, and the liberals are for transgender medical treatment. This is what they call amputations, breast amputations, penis amputations, trying to create a fake vagina, puberty blockers. These should be controversial. And you know they're controversial because NBC is using euphemisms. When it comes to transgender issues, all the euphemisms just come tumbling out. Gosk went to Professor Chauncey. Does this very angry debate cast a shadow over some of the progress that has been made? Chauncey responded, I think everyone is aware that issues that seemed to be settled just a few years ago are up for grabs again. See, now you can see in all of this, there's an angry debate. They don't want there to be a debate. Some issues seem to be settled. They wanted the left's cause to be settled. They don't want to have to fight anything again. But this is something new. This whole push for children to get quote-unquote gender-affirming care. Gosh, talk about terrible euphemisms. It's gender-denying care. And it's not really care. Lopping off somebody's genitals or their breasts, calling it care, it's like the way they use the term abortion care. At least in the Stephanie Gosk story, once again, like Tony DeCoppel, there were some actual snippets of conservative people in it. Even if Gosk didn't interview them in person like Professor Chauncey, you got this little snippet of Ben Shapiro saying, you're going to get rainbow vomit and everything across corporate America. Yes. They probably used that because they thought, that sounds really negative. Well, yes, rainbow vomit. But that certainly represents the conservative view. Also, a clip from Fox, Laura Ingraham saying, the same people who encourage minors to have life-altering hormones and surgery on their genitalia and even begin transitioning without parental consent, they have done and are doing enormous damage to young people. So let's say some kudos to NBC for just including these words in a story. It's not that difficult. Well, finally, let's talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers. I haven't talked about this enough. Obviously, they are welcoming on a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence for Pride Night. Then let's talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are having a Pride Night and are welcoming a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, some Catholic church mockers. When it was first announced, there was pressure, and then they uninvited them, then they re-invited them. Washington Post sports reporter Chelsea Janes demonstrated she was a good liberal postie. She did note in her story about the re-invitation that Senator Marco Rubio and the Catholic League argued that honoring the sisters, who dress in brightly colored habits and call themselves a leading-edge order of queer and trans nuns, meant the Dodgers were encouraging hate speech and anti-Catholicism. Yes, that's exactly what the Dodgers are doing. If there's such a thing as hate speech, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are hate speakers. They are anti-Catholic. It is beyond dispute. But Chelsea Janes described them this way in the piece. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence were founded in San Francisco in 1979 as an LGBTQ+ advocacy and fundraising group. They have since opened chapters across the country and include straight, gay, and non-binary members who dress in brightly colored habits and cloaks, paint their faces, and, As the Los Angeles chapter's website puts it, make people happy, stamp out guilt brought on by a judgmental society, and help various organizations and charities. Chelsea Janes, working for the sisters. Pay her some money. They dress up in basically horrifying Halloween costumes. You know, people get fired from the media for talking about anybody painting in blackface. I mean, these people paint themselves in this grotesque white face and wear nuns' habits and call themselves queer and trans nuns. They are not nuns, but they are there to mock the nuns. Now, there are just not as many nuns now today as there used to be. The number of nuns has really kind of dramatically dwindled in the church. Some young women still do find their way to convents and join, orders of nuns. That, I guess, is really countercultural. But the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence mock that entire thing. They don't make people happy unless your idea of making people happy is, you know, spitting in the face of Jesus. The Catholic League made a list of some of the things that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence have been known to do. They like having a condom savior mass with a condom savior consecration. This is literally a desecration, mocking the Catholic doctrine of the Eucharist. The Catholic League notes in 1989 they had a condom savior mass where the sisters read from their condom savior consecration and said, "The latex host is the flesh for the life of the world. Just as the Creator who has life sent us, we have life because of the condom savior. Those who feed on this latex will have life because of it. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. And unlike those who eat not and therefore die, those who feed on this bread shall live forever." So basically, I mean, eating latex, who does that? But I mean, they're basically comparing a condom to Jesus Christ. In 1994, the sisters served, quote, Holy Communion wafers and tequila at a mock mass. In the year 2000 in San Francisco, they held a Good Friday event where they sponsored a fetish fashion show that provided a chance to get spanked and free sticky buns. Someone named Dr. Carol Queen held what she called a Good Vibrations dildo fashion show. This is who is being honored by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, some baseball players have come out strongly against this anti-Catholic, anti-Jesus trend. The Dodgers offering a place of honor to this kind of mockery. But one Toronto Blue Jays pitcher named Anthony Bass was compelled to apologize when he called for a boycott of Target and Bud Light and said the trans agenda was evil and demonic. Apparently you can't say that. The word demonic is something you just are not allowed to say. Somehow it's just not a word that's used by secular reporters. This is the playing field now in the culture of sports. Agree or be punished. You have to make a confession. They will not be praising Christian Colin Kaepernicks who speak out against the trend. Now, the Los Angeles Dodgers are a business, and you could see them having Pride Night as part of their inclusive marketing. The stadium is not a cathedral. But when you offend the Catholics or the Christians, isn't that a much larger audience? Is it really smart marketing to offend a huge chunk of your fans? You know, it's one thing to have Pride Night and say, oh, the gay men's chorus is going to sing the national anthem, and isn't that nice? This is something different. Yes, the stadium's not a cathedral, but this sort of routine is like inviting people in to a cathedral, to mock it, to rip it apart, you know, to enter the church and make fun of the Eucharist. These are not people you should be honoring. You could have a pride night without doing this. Now, obviously, a lot of people look at Gay Pride Month and they say, well, what about straight pride? Now, obviously, I'm sure that if you're LGBT, you think, well, the straight people are cocky all the time because they're the normal ones. Christians should see it differently. Every month should be straight humility month. In the book of James, it says right there, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It's hard to be humble, not because you're perfect in every way. I've got Mac Davis on the brain now. No, it's hard to be humble in a culture like this where you're under attack. And yes, you want to say, am I proud to be Catholic or proud to be Christian? Certainly. But we're called to be more than that. We're supposed to be trying to create a civilization of love. That's what they tell us. Not hate speech. But that can be hard to do. You know, you could have a conversation. I just think what we need to underline in all this coverage of Pride Month is that they don't want a conversation. I mean, they don't want to be disagreed with. You're not really allowed to say, I think what you're doing is sinful. They don't really like the concept of sin. I think you're engaging in behavior that will be bad for your soul. We have that whole notion of soul. But this is the funny thing. It's like, you know, banks and restaurants all these other businesses don't celebrate Easter or Christmas as holidays to honor Jesus, you know. And that, obviously, you could do that kind of marketing to Christians. You know, we know that in real life, in the popular culture, Easter's for bunnies and Christmas is for gifts and trees and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But, you know, their idea of diversity and inclusion, you know, it's really playing the usual game the left plays, which is we're gonna identify people that we think are marginalized. We're going to bring them to the center of everything and affirm them. And basically suggest that if you don't join in the affirmation, yeah, you're hate speech. You're misinformed with your opinions, and you shall not be included in news stories. And then they wonder, why is it that conservatives and Christians don't trust the news media? It should be obvious. And if it's not obvious, then send them to Newsbusters, where we can educate them. And you come once, twice, 24 times a day. Thank you for listening.